everybody. Thank you very much for being here with us today. We've been listening to the panels throughout the day, and what we've been hearing is that Greece has been making huge efforts to reposition itself as an investor-friendly destination, sustainable, efficient, and creditworthy. Over the past 5 years, the Greek government have taken a lot of steps in the area of tax reforms to assist this path to reinventing the country. And taxation is the key, one of the key and pivotal aspects of creating an economy which has a long-term prospect both for its citizens and for investors. So what our panel is here to do today is to discuss these tax reforms, what has happened over the past 5 years, where we are today, and what are the challenges moving forward. Let me introduce very briefly the panel. We've got Ms. Mary Psylla, who is the General Secretary for Tax Policy of the Ministry of Economy and Finance. The Governor, Mr. George Bifilis, the Governor of Independent Authority for Public Revenue. Mr. George Kaminaris, who is the Head of Tax for Young Greece. Yes. And Mr. Kostas Vambakas, what did I do?
Spiros. Spiros.
You're deaf. I'm terribly sorry. I know that.
Yes.
Shame on me. And Mr. Kostas Vambakas, yes, who is the founder and CEO of VK Premium Business Growth Consultants. And having made my first mistake, I will start with you, Mary. Last week, the Parliament passed a new set of measures for tax reforms. Would you give us the highlights of those and how they tie in with the entire government
of
policy?
Of course. So, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be here with you today in this distinguished panel with colleagues and friends. And I would like to thank Capital Link Annual Meeting for giving me this opportunity. Indeed, last Wednesday we had the Greek Parliament pass a law providing generous tax incentives for individuals and legal entities. My comment will focus on legal entities' tax incentives, and especially for those targeting to corporate transformations. So, these incentives, along with the incentives provided for innovation and research, represent a strategic pivot for a Greek economy, which is aimed to revitalizing its production model. Indeed, we need to proceed on producing high value added products and services. And in this respect, we need larger companies. Those incentives will help in creating these larger companies. Because, in fact, numbers are disappointing indeed. 99.9% of Greek legal entities are micro, small, or medium-sized enterprises. And only the 1.1% is larger companies. And what are larger companies? The companies that employed over 250 persons. So, numbers are disappointing, and in order to enforce our economy, we need larger companies. And that's why we proceeded with the ratification of these generous tax incentives. What are these incentives? First of all, till last Wednesday, there were three legal frameworks applied to corporate transformation. So our first step is to create a single text abolishing simultaneously the other laws. This will create certainty and clarity in corporate transformation. This provision concerns not only domestic corporate transformations, but also cross-border with the European Union, and in certain cases, with countries outside the EU. The actions encompass this provision where are a merger, demergers, partial demergers, spin-offs, conversion of legal forms, and exchange of companies' participation. We also provide some provisions for the transfer of legal seat in Société Coopérative Européenne and Société Européenne. So, a particular provision regarding SMEs has to do with the contribution of sole proprietorship and joint ventures to existing companies or newly established ones. This will help a lot the corporation, the transformation of SMEs, we believe. Also, we have provided for contribution of the brands or companies participation exchange for in third, when a company established in a third country is a part of this transformation. The law also provides for specific provision for valuation of the taxable value and for taxation of the potential capital gains. So a new provision is that capital gains exemption is permanent, and also we provided for a capital gains exemption at the level of the shareholder because taxable value is the pre-merger, the post-merger market value of the shares. Other features of the law are tax losses carried forward, tax law reserves and provisions enjoy the exemptions that they had. Tax depreciation is based on the taxable value of assets pre-merger, exemption of capital registration tax, exemption of any indirect taxes, bureaucratic requirements, lifting of bureaucratic requirements. I mean, it's a law full of tax incentives. And that's why we provided for a very, very strict the avoidance provision. In a nutshell, the new law at first, consistent with the tax neutrality provided by the merger directive, provides incentives. But there are some additional incentives that I said before that are tailored, aiming to provide business with the flexibility and support they need to adapt to changing market conditions.
Thank you very much. And on that note, Spiros, what are your views on this new law, and how do you feel that these tax incentives will be seen by investors, by your clients?
Thank you, Christina, and thank you to all of you joining us here. Usually the tax guys have not a great attendance, but I think we are okay today. This law, apart from what Mary said, provides also significant incentives with regard to innovation and research and development. And we would like to note actually three pillars out of them. One of them is the research and development expenses super deduction, as we call it, up to 250%. This meaning that for an expense of 100 euros or $100, you get a deduction of 250. This is obviously quite a strong point as an incentive. I think it overcomes a lot of barriers in incentives direction, as long as you have as well 300% also for expenses with startups and recognized research institutions and universities. This is a significant pillar. A second pillar is the tax exemption for 3 years for the income coming of recognized patents coming from this research and development. This is a great step, especially if you combine it with 7 further years of a tax reduction of 10%. Not a tax reduction, a reduction of tax amounting at 10%. And finally, having an increase at around $1 million exemption to the angel investors, taking the risk to invest in startups and newly organized companies in with innovation and technology. Having said that, I would like to also add that in this new law we have also the introduction of the exemption of dividends and capital gain coming from what we call the third countries, countries outside the EU. So if you combine all these measures together, you would see that you create an environment of having R&D hubs in Greece along with a more wide geographical exploitation of these patents in a regional level. So that one could consider that Greece is becoming something like an outbound hub on this kind of investments. Maybe I overdone it.
No, it's okay. And yes, all of this, this new package seems very ambitious and to attract new investments, R&D, angel investors and the like. Governor, if I may turn to you, tax reforms are great, but they need to be applied in a way which is efficient and you know, where they can actually be enforced and prosper. I'm thinking digitalization, which is one of the key reforms that you have undertaken. Would you care to discuss this a little bit for us?
Yes. As we say, indeed, you know, a country's tax policy is as good as its tax administration. And it's all about time. It's about reducing time taxpayers need to comply with the obligation while at the same time maintaining tax certainty and fostering trust in taxpayers. This is where the guideline that we follow, and this is why we have invested a lot in efficient digital services. As you may know, our currently corporate and personal income tax returns are fully digital. VAT returns are fully digital. Withholding taxes are digital. Income tax returns are also pre-filled with the data that we have for taxpayers, and a good 20% of them are also pre-assessed, which means that taxpayers can see what they're about to pay, and if they don't want to do anything, we will assess the tax, we will do the assessment for them at the end of the designated time. We have worked a lot in pre-filling also VAT returns through our MyData platform. We'll talk about it later, our continuous transaction control system, that is, that we have in Greece. And it has helped businesses a lot. We have digitalized real estate transaction taxes, 1.2 million returns, 1.8 billion euros of taxes paid digitally. A few days ago, we digitalized the former stamp duty, which was really on a process on paper. Now it's a digital transaction tax, and it's since December 1st, you can do the whole thing through a website. We have we launched the mobile application this March that allows taxpayers to manage their taxes, see their obligations, get personalized information on their obligations, so they can actually handle the whole thing through the cell phone. We also have an English version for that. By the way, one long-standing thing that we had to do, and we did it, is accept payments from foreign cards. So, for example, now a Greek-American that has obligations in Greece can pay his taxes, his entry through his through the mobile and his card. And generally, we invest a lot in end-to-end digital services, which means services that you can do the whole thing without interference of our employees, that you can navigate and do complete the thing through your mobile or through your computer. And artificial intelligence will also play a crucial role in that. We are investing right now on chatbots for taxpayer service. So we've done a lot. There are a lot of things that need to be done in the future. There are a lot of challenges as well that we will need to face, especially how to make our processes leaner so that we can, again, save time for taxpayers, but also for us in the administration, because, you know, allocating strategically our resources is the big given that we need to answer to.
Thank you, but let's not downplay this. 5 years ago, people had to queue on a line at a tax authority office and wait for hours to get anything done. So this is a huge effort and a huge change in tax administration, right? Costa, what you're doing is assisting investors for incentives. How familiar do you think your clients, potential clients, are with all these changes we've discussed and with the incentive regimes? Are they familiar? Is it easy to get access to these programs? And which are the sectors primarily eligible for this type of projects?
Thank you, Christina. First of all, let me answer the question about the extent that the investors are familiar with programs, with incentive programs. Based on my experience, there is a learning curve when learning new systems and things. Most of the business community is quite familiar with programs such as the Greek investment law and ESPA programs that are up and running for many years now. However, there are programs such as the RRF, which is up and running for the last 2.5 years, which have become very, very popular. RRF basically provides low interest rate loans. The interest rate, which is a basic advantage for this RRF program, is 0.35% or 1% depending on the size of the company. And this interest rate is fixed for a period or for up to 15 years. So if somebody wants to make an investment, it's obvious that the RRF program is very, very attractive because the other option is to take a normal loan with an interest rate of from 4.5 to 6.5 or 7%. So taking advantage of RRF program, you get an interest rate loan of 0.35 or 1% fixed for up to 15 years. Apart from the RRF program, there is another program which is called Strategic Investment Program, that is for bigger investments, more than 30 million euros. The benefit of this program is that there is no maximum amount of grant or tax breaks or tax reliefs that a company can get. So the higher the investment is, the higher the grant or the tax relief can be. These strategic investment programs are not very familiar to the business community. However, there are more programs, such as the Innovation Fund and the LIFE program, that focuses on green technologies, on CO2 emissions, on renewables, on the circular economy. These programs are issued by EU, and there is a budget of more than 40 billion euros for the period or up to 2030. As regards to the second part of your question about eligible sectors, I would like to point that all these programs are very broad as regards of the eligibility of these sectors, and almost all the sectors of the economy can get these incentives from tourism, from manufacturing, from technology, biotechnology, ESG projects, renewables. All these projects, all these sectors are eligible for funding. Especially for the R&D centers, that could be the R&D projects could be either in pharma or in software or in food sector, for the sectors. There are grants, tax reliefs that cover not only the capex, but also the salaries for the scientific personnel and the equipment that is needed. So for companies that are investing in R&D in Greece can get subsidies, grants for up to 50% of the investment for the whole investments. And also, for technology companies that are labor intensive, and this is the main concern, the employment cost, there are also grants and programs that subsidize part of the employment cost up to 50%. So there are many different programs for nearly all the sectors of the economy.
Okay, that's very interesting. So all of that coupled with the reforms that are here and the reforms that are coming. And if I can ask you again, Mary, we need to create a tax regime, both administration and framework, which is consistent and stable. What are the next steps? What are you planning to do?
Are lower taxes and tax incentives enough for the investors? The answer is no. The investors need a stable tax environment. And this stable tax environment may give the certainty necessary for the businesses to plan their investments. In this respect, Greece has taken important steps through its legislation, past and future, and through its tax administration actions and processes. We should not forget that Greece is a member of the European Union. Its legislation, its tax policy is shaped by the EU legislation, which provides directives and regulations fully adapted, fully integrated, which provides alignment with other EU countries and also minimize the risk of unexpected tax changes. We should not forget that. Additionally, Greece complies with the guidelines of international organizations like the OECD, and also adopts a judicial decision of global courts and local courts as well. I mean, ECJ decisions definitely shaped our tax legislation, and also national court decisions mostly adopted by the administration. Also, Greece has adopted international mechanisms like APAs and plans for the first 6 months of 2025 to introduce into its legislation the advanced private rulings, which are rulings that issued by the administration in the investors that seeking certainty for their big investments, for important transactions. These rulings will be binding up to a certain extent. Also, We are now in process of tax loss codification. Past year, we managed to codify the VAT provisions, the corporate income tax provisions, and the procedure laws and provisions. And now, in next year, we intend to codify customs and excise provisions, wealth tax provisions, and what else? And indirect tax provision. We believe in codification, although it seems a boring project, because we think that minimizes tax fragmentation and creates certainty and efficiency in use of the tax laws. Something more interesting is the plan of some more incentives about capital markets, the taxation of digital assets and cryptos, and also the introduction of group taxation in the Greek tax policy.
Ooh, wow.
That's for the first 6 months. Okay. Let's see.
May I just say that the advanced private rulings, this is something where clients have always asked us,
yeah,
is that possible? And we would always say, no, we don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do, actually.
Thanks.
We do.
Okay. I don't do tax. My tax colleagues kept saying there are no tax rulings which are, you know, private tax rulings.
We have APAs.
Okay.
On transfer pricing. And we're going to work also on a tax rulings scheme that's under certain conditions.
By the way.
I agree. And if I can ask you, Governor, apart from the incentives, there needs to be a stick for one of the menaces of Greece in general, I think, which is tax evasion. What steps have you been taking and will continue to take?
System needs to be fair, and fair means that everyone pays their fair share. This is one part, so we need to tackle tax evasion, tax fraud, smuggling, and on the other side, provide fairness when there is a tax dispute that comes to be resolved within the authority. I will focus a little bit on the first part. We have worked a lot in developing a continuous transaction control system, which we call MyData in Greece. It includes electronic invoicing. It includes digital bookkeeping. Every transaction is recorded therein. To give you the figures, 1.5 million businesses, so practically every business in Greece, report their transactions. We're talking about 11 billion invoices and receipts so far, and 3.4 trillion euros, of transactions since 2020. So it's an ecosystem that that follows the principle easier to comply, harder to avoid. This is what we want to do by retraining businesses to comply and do what they need to do when things happen, so that, you know, tax obligations are easier when tax returns need to be filed. And it has paid off since 2017. The VAT gap in Greece has been reduced by a good 60%, from 30% to something less than 14%. What's what we expect for 2022? We are currently investing in digital consignment nodes, which will allow us to track what is being transferred within the territory. The Prime Minister talked in his greeting speech today about the interconnection of POS machines with cash registers, so controlling and having a fair reporting of the retail transactions, which have always been an issue in Greece. And revenue also shows that something is being done right. I mean, for I saw the figures. The for November, it's not definitive, but the first report that we get, 3.5 billion euros of excess of target, a good 6%. Okay, there is growth in Greece. There is has been a little bit of inflation as well, but all these 3.5 million, a good part of it comes from enhanced tax compliance. So things have things are getting better, and we will also insist in fully developing this system, and as again as I said before, also introducing artificial intelligence that can help us with predictive models, help us spot taxable transactions that are not being declared, and generally use technology to the fullest extent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Spiro, digitalization, cracking down tax evasion. Is this something which makes a difference for international investors?
Christine, I think, yes, I think this is a positive element, and I will try to explain why. I think I will say no more than what Mary and the government said just before. First of all, cracking down tax evasion provides an environment where the game is fair. Nobody's going to invest the money in a game where it's not a fair game. So by having the certainty that we are having a fair game is always appreciated. And everybody plays with the same rules. Second on that is digitalization. E-books, e-delivery notes, all this stuff. But this is a generic approach of Greece the last year. The whole public sector is digitalized, and this is a more friendly environment and more productive environment. And this obviously is appreciated as well. And at the end of the day, cracking down tax evasion gives the flexibility to governments, irrespective of what they aim, to really apply their policies, and not, you know, partially apply the policies. And this is always appreciated by the investors, because they have in front of them the whole game. One can say that on top, of course, we're having a healthy revenue streams on public sector. Nobody would like to invest in a place where the public sector is not healthy. And finally, having a public sector healthy by cracking down tax evasion gives the opportunity for the incentives reduction of taxes, but also incentives on the basis that we have been discussing today. I think most of the things that we are discussing today wouldn't be possible if the tax evasion was not eliminated. I wouldn't say eliminated; it's a hard word, but minimized.
Minimized indeed. So we are creating a system which is fair, which is transparent, which is stable, consistent, which is user friendly. All very positive things, and Costa, if I may end with you to add more positivity, if you can give us a couple of examples of companies that you have assisted investors to get funding through the incentive programs.
First of all, let me explain a little bit about our role in this process. Our role is, since a new client arrives in our office, first of all, we have to understand what his investment plans are for the next 3 to 5 years. Then we are trying to identify which program is most suitable for him. And after that, the beauty or the challenge in our job is to identify if there are different programs that can be combined to get the best, the maximum benefit for the investor. Now, as regards to case studies that you asked, I will describe you six projects from three different sectors. First, in the pharma and biotechnology, we have supported three such projects. The first success story is the grant award of 32 million for the biotechnology company called Regenesis, which is listed in Nasdaq, for an investment of 83 million. It's worth mentioning that this company, when decided to enter the European market, even though they have a facility in Belgium, they decided to do the investment in Greece because of the existence of these grants programs. Another investment is a brand new high-tech pharma facility in Greece, investment of more than 45 million euros that we have applied for tax breaks. And also another R&D pharma, an investment that is more than 30 million euros. And this is another interesting case because even though that this company, which is a large company, has another facility, another R&D facility in another European country, when they heard about the incentives that the government, the Greek government provides, they decided to do this investment in Greece and not to expand the existing facility in the other country. In tourism, we are supporting at the moment a very big luxury resort with villas, marinas, an investment of more than 400 million euros, which, among others, they're requesting for special partial arrangements. And last, in manufacturing, we support two projects. One of them has been already approved for a grant. It's the biggest paper mill company in Greece. It's called Intertrade, which has been approved for a grant of 25 million euros for investment of approximately 100 million. In this case, we had another challenge, not only to get this grant, but also to combine this grant with incentives from the RRF program. So we managed to combine the grant with a loan of a low interest rate loan, 1%. So this company could get the maximum benefit to finance its investment. The other thing is another is a very exciting project for me because it's about the environment and the recycled economy. It's a pyrolysis technology investment of 45 million, and we're expecting an approval of 21 million. And last, it's a steel manufacturing company, an investment of 45 million, which is aimed to upgrade the facility and to expand activities and to combine it with green transition and ESG standards. All these sectors are worth looking, are sectors which cover almost quite a lot of the business sectors in Greece, and all these programs are very attractive for these companies. I would like to say the last that Greece is a very good situation because there is a stable economy, there is political stability, and there is a plethora of financial instruments to support investments in Greece. So it's an ideal time for investors who are looking to invest to get the most out of this investment in regards to financial tools.
Thank you, Costa. I think that was a very positive note to end our panel. Are there any questions for the panelists? No. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for the